Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, well, let's get right into it, VJ. The big news of the day is that there will be no suspension for the Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill in the investigation that was into him, whether or not he abused his child, his little son. And the NFL could find no evidence that he had done it. They couldn't determine whether it was him or his girlfriend or someone else. And so he will not be suspended for any game. So he is back with the Chiefs and ready to rock and roll. His training camp is upon us next week. So what are your thoughts on this?
This is what I call a spider topic, man, because it's got so many legs and it can go in so many different directions. First of all, him not getting suspended, you know they're going to be the people out there that's going to now say the NFL doesn't care about child abuse. We already have that with mistreatment of women by their players, with domestic violence and a lot of other incidents that have happened with like big name players. And we don't need to go through that list. We are in all of them. So, wow, it's 50-50 with me right now, man. Guys got to make a living. And if the criminal justice system, if the system says, and they do their investigation, if they say he's good money, then you know what are you gonna do? The NFL could step in, but then
they're kind of getting, and they've done it before. Yes. Obviously, they did it with Ezekiel Elliott, who wasn't convicted of anything as well, and he got 6 games. But and I'll get back to that point in a minute because that is relevant. But I agree with the NFL's ruling. I mean, like you said, if the criminal justice system in America didn't charge him with anything, didn't find him guilty of anything, and then, look, I'm not claiming to be a chief investigator. I read through much of the evidence, much of what was happening, and I couldn't, just from what I read, it was not clear that Tyreek Hill actually hurt his son. You know, the lawyers for Tyreek Hill had some evidence that his girlfriend, the mother of his child, had admitted to lying on him, mm-hmm. lying on Tyreek and saying he had hurt the son before and put bruises on him. When she admitted, "Oh, I was just mad, you know, that's why I said it. I know I'm the one that hurt him." So, I mean, it was really hard to determine just what was going on. And one thing that you see, I mean, you saw it in the case with Ezekiel Elliott, and you saw it here with Tyreek Hill and his girlfriend. Some of these athletes, many of them, are in such volatile relationships. And obviously, they're as the football player, the male, they're stronger. They have a physical advantage, and you never want to discount that. But the relationships, from what we've seen, appear to be so volatile that perhaps the women do sometimes say things that aren't true. Like, I mean, again, she admitted that she just was trying to get back at him, and so she made up a story that he had hurt their son. So you have to understand that some of these situations, they're just volatile from the get-go. Here's what I'm referring to. They had text messages between Tyreek Hill and his girlfriend.
Yes.
Her name is Crystal. He said, "Crystal, you know I didn't cause any bruising or harm to our son, but for some reason I still may be charged." His girlfriend says, "I know you didn't. I did. I hurt him," meaning our son. "I'm the one that did it. I was hurt and mad at you, so I blamed you for everything." So that's something that it's very unfortunate. All of it's unfortunate. All of it's unfortunate, but that's something that, the NFL and the justice system had to weigh in as well.
Yeah, and if I could play devil's advocate here, the text messages, that transcript you're reading was a text message between them two. And right. This is after, you know, the police were called to the house. This is after the investigation started. We see so many times in these situations where the women, they either make up with the boy, with the boyfriend or the husband or the fiance or whatever the case is. We saw it with Ray Rice and his wife. We've seen it over right. time where they make up, but you got this court date that's 3 months away. So when this court, by the time this court date comes, you guys are probably back to your normal lives, or seemingly so to the public eye. And that, man, that just sounds like, okay, here, let's create some evidence for ourselves. Like I said, I don't have any proof of this.
It's possible. Yeah,
you know,
you don't. That's
you know where I'm going.
Situations like this. Yeah. And I think sometimes too, let's face it. Tyreek Hill is the breadwinner, the big time breadwinner in this situation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times as well, obviously there's love involved. And sometimes, like you said, especially if these relationships are typically violent, like that's the state of the relationship. They're used to arguing. They're used to going at each other. Then they can make up and sometimes they just get back to normal. Or sometimes the woman recognizes, hey, if he's taken down, if he's prosecuted, if he's kicked out of the NFL or suspended or whatever, no more money. And yeah. She's got mouths. She's got a little son
yeah.
to deal with and feed. So that's where these things get so tricky. Now, the one thing I will throw out is this. While I agree with the NFL's decision not to suspend Tyreek Hill just because it looks to me like you can't tell whether or not he did anything wrong to the kid. Ezekiel Elliott, he got 6 games.
Yeah.
Same situation as far as never being convicted by a court of law. And the NFL's chief investigator, the lead investigator, Kia Roberts, she actually recommended that he not be suspended. After she had done all her work, all her interviews, all her investigation, she recommended to the NFL Ezekiel Elliott not be suspended. So it may have been a very similar situation to what we had with Tyreek Hill, but why does Hill get no games and Ezekiel Elliott gets 6? The NFL has got to be more transparent with how they're making these decisions.
Well, if I once again could play, I love playing devil's advocate. It's more fun than just kind of, yeah, it's, well, it's more
that's
fun.
That's like
than,
8 times in the first segment,
yes,
bro.
Yes, because it's more fun than going with the flow, because I'm a person, I have a saying in my life, don't fail the eye test. Believe what you see. Like Grandmama Ben told us, when people show you who they are, believe them. So when it came to the Ezekiel Elliott thing, I think a lot of that had to do with who he is, his stature, his persona, who he plays for. And I know that may sound crazy, but there's, you know, Jerry Jones has had, he spoke out big against the league and suspending them. That suspension could have easily been like, okay, here, let me show you, you're just still an owner at the end of the day. You may be a billionaire, but you're
he's
still
a
just
powerful he, owner
he's a
too.
Powerful he's a powerful owner, but he has rubbed the NFL front office wrong. And at the end of the day, all these gentlemen are still human beings, and I believe feelings at some times does come into play when it comes to business decisions. And I think that's what happened to Zeke Elliott.
But that's wrong. If that's
it
the
is.
Case, that's terrible.
It is terrible.
I mean, I get it. We're all human beings, and you can get in your feelings about one person or another. But if indeed that was punishment because of Jerry Jones, then that's ridiculous. And I don't really think that was the case. However, you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott's track record, and mm-hmm. those things are important. Tyreek Hill's got a track record, too.
Absolutely.
We know he pled guilty, to punching his girlfriend in the stomach when she was pregnant.
Well, not just punching
now,
her in the stomach.
Now, he denies it, right, choking
yeah,
her.
Yeah, head locked her, threw her out in the hallway. Yeah, a bunch of stuff.
He that came out, too, in the tapes that you heard. He denied it, said he never hit her in 2014, and he's still paying for it. He says he just did that because he took the plea, because if he had gone to jail, it would have messed up his NFL career. So, again, this is a situation. It's really unfortunate. What you hope is just that these two people get their situation together. Because ultimately, it's obviously hurting them, but the child more than anybody. And so hopefully they straighten this thing out.
Well, yeah, and that's where the other 50% comes from is you got these two parents, but then you also have this little boy. You have this innocent child who could be in a situation just because the system said we're not charging you does not mean that an aggressive spanking or whooping did not happen or child abuse did not happen. So now my mind flips to, okay, well, what about the kid? What if this is a situation going on? And a lot of times we see, you know, charges drop, no charges filed, nothing. You know, investigation closed. But we don't know if that means this stuff isn't going. Exactly. We don't know if nothing's still going on. So there's this little boy now, and you know who could be going through this stuff. So that's the other 50%.
You know what was interesting as I read this letter from Tyreek Hill's lawyer to the league, to some counsel. They were saying that. When I first heard the story about the little boy had a broken arm, and they think one of the parents did it. My thought was, wow, like one of them was disciplining him or just whatever, but disciplining him and hit him so hard, did something to him, grabbed him so hard that they broke his arm.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as if it was over time. Like at some point he came to his parents and complained about pain in his arm. And they took him to the hospital and found out it was broken.
Mm.
So there's no telling. I think that's where some of the gray area, it's all gray area, but where a lot of it comes in is that was Tyreek Hill roughhousing with his son, like just playing around with him and he got too rough, you know, playfully and broke his arm or what? And he didn't know it was broken. It just hurt a little. And then later on, he says, my arm is really hurting, you know, or was he disciplining him? Did he or the girlfriend, the mother, really, you know, hit him too hard purposefully or, you know, like you don't know what happened, but it did come off different to me that it didn't seem like it was just one straight incident where you hit him, you broke his arm, and that was that. It seemed like it could have happened any number of ways because it apparently was over time.
Yeah, and that's the really worrisome part of this deeper gray area, as you so well put it. If that's the case, then there's a problem there. If you're grabbing them that often, that much force, that his arm breaks, that's crazy.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's so troublesome.
We just hope they get this thing together.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are pleased to have our next guest in. You have seen him on Saturday Night Live. You've seen him on Grown Ups, Big Daddy, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, The Hot Chick, The Animal. We could go on and on. It is none other than the great Rob Schneider. Rob, how are you?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great, man. It's great to have you on the show.
Good, man. If you have a name like Broussard, don't you have to open up like a French, one of those bistros at some point in your life?
Hey, you know what? Ironically, I actually have thought about opening up a spot called Broussard's Cafe. We're just looking for funding. So if you're open to that, we can get it done quickly.
If I go in there and it's like, you know, a barbecue, I'm going to be very angry.
No, I really laid it out. It was going to be Creole cooking. And I was going to say, believe it or not, in New York, there's very few legitimate Creole or Cajun restaurants.
Yeah. You know what's a trip, though, is that like, if you can pull it off, it's ridiculously good. But it's really hard for people. Like, it seems like the farther you are away from any, whatever it is, the legitimate food, whether it's New Orleans Creole food or wherever, the farther you get away, or whether, you know,
right,
you get away from the city, it becomes more inauthentic. Like the more
exactly.
miles, that's what happens.
It's crazy.
When you get in your food, I'm in my 50s, so you know, I'm at the time of my life. It's like, not that I'm less interested in sex, but I'm as interested in cookies. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm 52. Is that what I got to look forward to?
Oh, yeah, you're there. You just don't realize it.
I heard you are a big baseball fan. Is that your favorite sport?
It's the greatest sport. You know, I guess the first one you fall in love with is the one that, when you're a kid, the one that sticks with you. I mean, if you think about it, you know, I guess it's been said by people who are Europeans talking about, if you want to understand America, you have to understand baseball, because
right.
so much of our culture is you know, is wrapped around the concept and the of the beautiful game, you know, the beautiful game of baseball. And in the same way, like, you know, you hit a home run with that, like, you know, right. Just get on base, buddy, you know.
Take right, home, you're right. Take home, get you to know? First base. So, you're right.
You know, this is it's a piece of cake. This one's, you know, this one's the pop-up. It's a pop-up. You know, it's just it says so much about life. And I think in a way it's because it's so ingrained in the American psyche, baseball. And I think it's right because I also think, you know, it's an exciting game. You never know what can happen. You're never completely out of it. And it seems like it's pretty fair. And I say America's got its problems and it's got its inequities and things. But it's at its base, I think it really strives to be fair. And even though there's a lot of, you know, stuff happening now in the news and there's a lot of left and right issues right. and people trying to be pigeonholed into who's what and whatever and attacking each other. But I think at the end of the day, most Americans, if you get them out of that off their high horse about things, they'll want it to be fair, you know?
Yeah.
And are happy for other people who make a success of society because they feel that they can do it too.
Now, I've been on this kind of, when I've talked about baseball recently, you know, we're in a politically correct climate now. And people are trying to change everything. You know, the NFL, you can't hit like you used to. The NBA, if you stare at a player after dunking on him, you get a technical. And I feel like baseball is like the one sport they still allow you to just act badly. Like, you know, the
well,
players.
I don't know.
Look, what about all these unwritten rules?
Well, Willie Mays said, first of all, they did change. You can't run into the catcher anymore.
You can't do that. You can't do that. But you can. What about hitting guys? What about throwing at a batter just because he or a teammate hit a homer off you last time?
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, you know, Willie Mays, I'm very proud to know him and have spent time with him, the great San Francisco, the great New York Giant and San Francisco Giant, yes. New York Met. And, you know, he was playing at a time when they didn't have any arm guards. They didn't have any, you know, they didn't have gloves. They didn't have something that they're to cover your ankle or your foot for a foul ball. These guys were just up there, and they were on a plate. And he told me this. Willie Mays told me this. He said if he hit a home run off Don Drysdale, he knew the next time up at the plate, he was going to get a fastball aimed at his head. And there was no ear guards at that time.
Right.
Was basically a plastic hat. And so, you know, he's going to dive for his life. And that's what he did. And the thing about it is they didn't rush the plate. They didn't rush the pitcher. They
knew it was coming.
As a matter of the profession that they were in. And I think it has to do with, like, and you know, it's not like the I think that the athletes are far more, I shouldn't use the word spoiled, but I would say that they are extremely overcompensated for their contribution to society.
And I think that's
hundreds of millions of dollars. but I do think, though, that there is a certain sense of grandiose in their attitude towards, like, hey, this is, you know, this is my plate, and I'm up here right. hitting the ball. But I do think that, you know, when you had, like, Bob Gibson, who was, like, about – they had to change the game for him. That's how effective Bob Gibson was. They had to literally lower the mound and change the game that was played for 75 years and go, you know what, this no longer works. So he was like a Gretzky type of guy, and, you know, Bob Gibson, the old pitcher for the St. Louis Cards. And they changed the game. So, you know, it's going to happen. Try as they might, they still can't ruin it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, and I don't think that I'm a classicist in saying that I think baseball, the wild card, is absolutely ridiculous.
Really? You don't like the wild card? I think it's added excitement.
Well, I think it's added more games, but I can't say. I mean, at a certain point, you know, baseball's becoming like hockey, and where you have, you know, half the teams make the playoffs, and then the season doesn't matter. I mean, in 1993, when the San Francisco Giants lost on the very last day of the game, the very last day of the season, and I think it was the first or second year of Barry Bonds when he was there. Yeah. And people said, oh, man, it wouldn't have been great if they would have made the playoffs. No, because that's not the way the game was
You
designed.
Are a purist.
Well, I don't know if it's a purist. I just think it's better, you know, because the idea that a team could just you know, sneak into the playoffs and just, you know, and out of a mediocre year and just get hot. Any team could get hot for
a few
games.
That much is true, especially in baseball, where slumps can happen at the wrong time. Pitching is so important.
And you can also get a guy like, you can get one guy like, you know, Baumgartner, who can win an entire series. He can win three games and basically take the whole series because you just he's that good.
One thing, a story I heard about you really made me laugh was that you guys, you and your wife, Patricia, you were subject to a mandatory evacuation about a year ago, I guess, during the Woolsey fire. And your wife, of course, she gets all the necessities packed up that, you know, you guys will need to survive. And you got your baseball cards. Is that true?
It's 100% true. I knew there was a fire up there, and like an idiot, instead of packing, we just start going on our phone, and then we, you know, I'm watching TV, and then the next thing, you know, knock, 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 immediate evacuation. So I got to grab something. So my wife grabs the kids, of course, and the shoes and blanket, and I just go in my office, and I got to take something. So I just took that. I just threw as many of those old baseball cards as I could in a box.
Wow!
And I go out. My wife says, "Well, you get some squeezies for the kids, some water, some shoes, some blankets. What'd you get?" And I went like, "What's in the box?" And we have baseball cards. And she said, "What? You didn't get anything for the kids?" And I went like, "Hey, I've only known these kids 6 years. You know, I've had these cards my whole life."
That's funny. Now, are your cards in great shape? You know, like where you, they'll be valuable?
No. I mean, some of them, but no, most of them, no. Because when I was a kid, you know, and the stuff that I didn't sell to go to Europe when I was like 19, it wasn't like, you know, there was nobody, you know, there was no gradations of them. You know what I mean? There's no,
right.
Nobody's grading them. There wasn't that whole Beckett and all that stuff. That didn't start till the 80s, you know,
right.
The 70s.
You're right. I jacked mine up too. You got a new podcast with your wife, Patricia Maya. I hope I said that correctly.
The podcast
is called See What Happens. And it's a weekly podcast. You talk about, you interview all types of people, famous guests, but some of your friends in Hollywood, the gardener even. And you dissect.
Why not?
Dissect show business, parental methods, jokes, good food, philosophy, and more. And it can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and robschneider.com. Rob, last thing, I need a two-name answer. Funniest comedian to you, besides yourself.
Richard Pryor.
All right. That's a good one. Can't beat that.
Rob,
thanks for joining the Odd Couple, man. This was great. I wish we had more time, but you know how radio is.
I look forward to your cafe, Broussard's Cafe.
Yes, let's do that.
All right,
my
care.
Man,
thanks
thank you.
Me.
Yep.
Take care now. Thank you.
All right. Stay tuned for more of The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Chris Broussard and VJ Wright in for Rob Parker.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
James Harden. He was in a hype video for the Houston Dynamo, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got sound. Here's what he said.
This is my city, and I'm here. I'm here to stay. I know I need to, you know, bring a championship in basketball, and I will. That's coming very, very soon. But just had to show my appreciation and let you guys know that I'm a part of the city, and I'm here forever.
Let me say this. I am a huge James Harden fan. I voted for him to win the MVP in 2015 when mm-hmm. Steph Curry won his first one. I voted for him in 27. No, I didn't vote for him when Russ won. People thought he should have won. But I voted for him when he won it 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I like watching him. A lot of people say he's boring. I like it because I know how difficult it is to just straight up handle like that.
Yes.
One-on-one. Against dudes that are longer than you in many cases, more athletic than you in many cases, and you can just shake them up essentially within a little 4 foot space and create enough space to launch your three pointer and make it fall a lot of the time. So I'm a fan of what he does. And I hope that he does eventually get a ring.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to tell you it's not going to be very, very soon, as he said. All right? They're not winning it very, very soon. But if I had to bet, I'm not – like I've said, Russell Westbrook, if he's the best player on your team, as much as I like Russ, as much as I know he's going to be a legend and an icon,
yeah,
he's not going to lead a team to an NBA championship,
yeah,
if he's your best player. I don't feel that way about Harden because I don't feel like stylistically he just can't get it done. But when I look at the landscape of the NBA, VJ, I think there's a great chance, a better chance than there is not, that he ends up like Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, mm-hmm, Steve Nash, and all those great players who were awesome, all-time greats, but never got the ring.
Yeah, you could throw Stockton and Malone in there also, too.
Many more.
I'm with you, man. James Harden, number one, he's just a certified baller. It kills me how we criticize, like, 36 buckets a night. Like, he got so much criticism, but he had to do that. Chris Paul was hurt, surprise, surprise. And he had to do that night in and night out for them to
For a little while.
Yeah, for a little while.
He had to keep it up.
Well, I mean, once you get in that, you play ball. You know how it is. Once you get in that pocket, man, it's just...
Well, that's what scares me.
Yeah, you're in the flow.
He's been in that pocket now for 2 years at least. and hold on.
Yeah.
The pocket is good.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't gotten the ring, but you've gotten a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You being mentioned in the same breath as Michael Jordan, as Wilt Chamberlain. Some people saying you're the best offensive player one-on-one they've ever seen. I mean, the pocket is good.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Is he, you know, after experiencing this... Is he willing to make the necessary changes? He's capable. He's versatile. He's not like Russ, where Russ has to play a certain way.
Yep.
No, he's capable of making the changes, but will he? Does he want to? Does he have the appetite for it after what he's been doing the last few years one-on-one?
I think he does, and I think what's going to happen with him and Russ, and this is probably on the smaller percentage of what people have said since that trade was made, I think he will look at Russ. Russ plays with his hair on fire, and we know that. James is smart enough, I think, to be able to peel himself back, and I think he will. I think he'll still be the best player on that team, but he'll still peel himself back enough. I think he has that type of personality, and I think him and Russ have had a conversation where they both put up phenomenal numbers, but they both get dogged by fans, by radio, by TV, and I think those two guys have kind of had a little conversation, man. Like, you know what? Let's go out here, and I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to peel back. You still go hard. And they still got a team. You still got Capella. You still got Gordon. You still got Tucker. Like, you still got some ballers on that squad. I thought they got better. And to answer your question, I think he does, and I'll go out on a limb. I say I got him in the Western Conference Finals. I'm going that far with the Houston Rockets. Now, it's early, but, hey, you know what? Let's throw it out there. I'm going with the Houston Rockets. Because I feel like
so you think they're the second, but you don't have them going to the finals.
No, I don't have them going to
the
finals.
They're the second best team in the West.
Well, at the end of the season, they may not be ranked number two, but
well,
I just think they're going.
Seeding, but
yeah, exactly. But I think they're just going to the Western Conference Finals. I think they have that much talent, and I think Harden will pull himself back a little bit. Because, like you said, Russ has got to play with his hair on fire night in and night out for 38, 39 minutes. And I think he does. I think he has it in him to do it.
I don't see it happening.
Okay.
I think that the Clippers are definitely better. I think the Lakers are better.
Are they? The Lakers?
I think they are.
They're old, Chris.
Anthony Davis isn't old.
No, he's not. But
Avery Bradley isn't old. He's been banged up last few years.
Yeah.
He's not old.
But when you get banged up.
JaVale McGee and LeBron, look. People can hate all they want. All I know is it was 27-8-8, and it was fourth seed in the West until he got hurt.
Yeah.
Everything went haywire after that. We know, and partly because of him, largely because of him.
Okay,
with the trade stuff with Anthony Davis, that it just fell apart. But they were actually beginning to play some really good basketball, even with those young kids. And I think he's coming back with a vengeance. So I would take the Lakers over them as well. I like a healthy. That means with Klay Thompson, like best case scenario, I think for Golden State is Klay comes back maybe in February, March, and works his way back to 100% by playoff time. If he can do that, I like Houston better, or Golden State better than Houston.
Well, my Western Conference Finals is the Warriors and the Rockets.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm not drinking. Listen,
buried the lead,
yes,
my man.
Yeah,
Warriors,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, and I mean that. I'm not just saying this for clicks. You know me, Chris. I don't do sports talk like that. And when I just look at the landscape, if I just look at the scope, if I can't hear, just give me 30 seconds. When I look at the additional D'Angelo Russell, I understand why people say, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. I get that part of it. But everybody does seem to go to Golden State and fit in. People keep forgetting this.
Right.
Everybody does
Name
go
one
there.
Player that did that.
Exactly. Durant right. didn't play defense like that until he went to Golden State. And they said, look, we know you can score. We got all that. But you got to play D here because we're small. So we need you to play D. And Durant stepped up and played that D. Everybody goes there, fits in. And when I look at the Lakers and I look at the Clippers, whenever we have these moves in the big off seasons of the NBA, it always takes a year for the teams that everybody looks at that's made. Look at Miami when they went and they formed the Heatles. It took them a year. And then after that,
Didn't take Boston's big three a year.
No, it you're right. It didn't take Boston's big
Toronto.
Three. But I will tell you this, though. I will give credit to LeBron and that Cavs team. They took that Boston team to seven games. And that Boston team lost every road game like the first two rounds. They went 7-7-7.
But they were ferocious in the regular season.
Yeah.
And obviously they ended up winning the title. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. But they don't – we're also talking about, you know, Ray Allen, one of the best shooters, one of the best
right,
twos
the
of all time.
Fit.
Yeah.
See, I'm shocked that again, I like the Warriors too,
mm-hmm.
but I'm shocked that you don't have the LA team, that you're so down on the LA teams.
Nah, it's going to take a year, man.
It's not going to take the Clippers. They're going to fit in smoothly, boy. Swimmingly, I've been saying.
No, and I believe you, but if in May, in a seven game series, I'm looking at guys that have already won it, like Kawhi's got a couple, LeBron's got his three, and I'm not saying they would shut it down or not play as hard, but I think the hunger from Russ and from Harden, if that team is healthy with the way they can shoot the three ball, and that's big in the playoffs, is that if you can shoot from the three, you have a great chance at winning. Look what Toronto did from the three this year. In the playoffs and then in the finals, the games that Golden State lost, they didn't shoot well from the three. And I think with that team, I'm just going out on a limb, man. And then
you are going out.
I'm going out on a limb, brother. I'll stick with it.
I don't like Houston nearly as much as you. So, all right. So you think Harden, I mean, look, you got him in the conference finals,
yes.
especially against the Warriors.
Yeah.
You must be giving him a good chance to win the championship this year.
No, because I still think something in me. And maybe it's my vanilla brother heart for Steph. Something in me just thinks that the Warriors will, like you said, Clay will be back. I got him at February. I got him probably around after the All-Star break. You don't need to bring him back before then. Bring him back after the All-Star break. Get his legs back. And Draymond, I think Draymond's going to improve his game this year. I like some of the other moves they've done. Kevon Looney, that was huge. I thought he was going to get away. But bringing him back was big.
I actually like getting Willie Cauley-Stein,
yes,
too.
Another long, because they need that length. They didn't have it. And yep. I think that's going to be the difference. This just, you know, I go out
Here's
on a limb.
Here's the thing, though, with Harden. And look, I'm sure Harden and Russ have spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they've spoken, but spoken about working it out with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure Chris Paul and Harden spoke too. And I know they're not as close as Russ and Harden are. They're legitimately close.
Yeah.
But Harden did not change his game one iota for Chris Paul. In fact, his usage rate went up every year that Chris Paul was there.
Yeah, I wouldn't have changed my game for Chris Paul neither.
Why not? Chris Paul, the freaking certified Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he is. You're right.
And if you want to win that, Chris is not as good as James Harden. No question about it.
Okay.
But Chris was right. And I'm sure he said it the wrong way. But he was right in that, look, we need to get more ball movement. We need to get some player movement in here if we're going to win. And that's the thing. Like, and again, if Harden changes, then they got a chance. And look, D'Antoni's not the coach to make him change.
Well,
or even say you need to change. But one man shows rarely win it all. And absolutely. Will Chamberlain, when he was scoring 50 and 45,
mm-hmm.
38 points a game, never won. He won championships averaging 24 points and 14 points a game. Michael Jordan's three highest scoring seasons of his career didn't win championships. Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care how great you are. A one-man show is not going to win it. So they have to change. Russ and Harden, I think it'll work to a certain degree, but I don't think it can work to a championship unless they had a different system where there was more ball and player movement. Because if they keep running what they're running and you expect Russ to spot up on the three-point line or Harden to spot up on the three-point line consistently while Russ has the ball, I don't think that's happening.
But I don't think that. And I don't think that's going to happen either. I think Russ is going to run the point. And I think that
So what's Harden going to do?
Harden, he could play the two or the three.
Spot up, he going to be their offense calls for spotting up.
I got you.
High pick and roll, man with the ball, penetrate or kick.
I think more pick and roll gets inserted into the offense this offseason. I think they run a little more pick and roll, and you have Russ, who's more of a scoring threat than Chris Paul was. And just back to Chris real quick.
He's what more than Chris Paul?
He's more of a scoring threat than Chris Paul. I mean, as far as getting to the bucket.
He can't shoot like Chris.
No, he can't. He can't shoot. Well, but okay, so then let me ask you this. Then where was Chris shooting when they really needed it then?
He balled in game six.
Well, game
he had 27
exactly.
against Golden State.
In one game.
11 for 15.
In one game.
I'm just saying. Well,
you're right.
The system wasn't, I mean, the reason it worked to the degree it did was because he could catch and shoot.
Okay.
Russ can't catch and shoot. So I'm skeptical unless they make severe changes. Okay. But